Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Gojo, we just had Jordan Renan on to help us break down the breaking news that the New York Giants have now fired head coach Joe Judge. They will be looking for a new head coach as well as a new general manager this offseason. And right now, you got to think that the tea leaves would suggest the Giants decided to make this decision because it would impact their prospective general manager search. And I've been on board with this decision all along. The last couple of weeks, the last couple of games, I think the optics of it is what ultimately sealed Joe Judge's fate.
Yeah, how you respond when things aren't going well, Chris, I think matters a lot when you talk about all these things that football claims to be about, right? Culture, these things that are the selling points to people coming in from outside your organization. All we heard from Joe Judge, Chris, was about how behind closed doors, things are changing. That is really hard to sell the GM candidates that want to come and work for your team or free agents that want to come and be a part of this. And so while a lot of people are going to look at the timeline and maybe take issue with turning this over, you've mentioned this organization hesitant to be the team that's constantly hiring and firing people. Based on your timeline with the GM and based on Joe Judge and how he had responded publicly to this, the 11-minute tirade after Week 17's loss and what we saw on display on the field in Week 18, I really don't think he left them with much of a choice.
Yeah, Gojo, I can't think back to a time where you saw a general manager and a head coach that weren't hired together, that weren't linked together, and it actually ended up working out in terms of long-term sustained success. I can't point to an instance where we've seen that in the National Football League. So I think it was important for the Giants, if they're going to be looking for a general manager who, based on their hierarchical structure, is going to be the top and then the head coach falling underneath that, then it made sense to go ahead and move on from Joe Judge. Let your GM have the autonomy to go through the coaching search and find who he wants, who he thinks is going to be the best option based on the pool of candidates available. I just texted Jordan Renan just to get an idea of the timeline when all of this is supposed to happen. And he said that he would expect the Giants to move quickly when it came to finding a general manager so they can be about the business of finding their next head coach.
Yeah, so Chris, I mean, listen, you've been on top of this. It's obviously a franchise near and dear to you. You won a Super Bowl ring with them back when this team was one of the most respected around the NFL. Getting back to that point now, what do you need to see out of who they go after for the GM and for the head coach? What do the qualities need to be to get this team back to where it's supposed to be?
Well, I think it's somebody that is actually has a level of awareness. I think where Joe Judge lost a lot of the fans was his post-game press conferences. And, Mike, you know that in this town, you've got to have a pulse not only on your locker room, but also a pulse on the fan base and the media and be able to navigate those spaces. And Joe Judge didn't show the ability to be able to do that at a high level. And I think that impacted how he was perceived by the Giants brass and ultimately what made the decision easier for them to cut ties with him. So that's one of the things that comes along with this job that is requisite. But ultimately, when it comes to the football, somebody that understands how to draft and develop talent. And Joe Judge, one of the things that you can't say that he did when he was here is show market improvement in some of the young players that the Giants are expecting to develop into cornerstone pieces. And of course, in the middle of that is Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones has regressed in the 2 years that Joe Judge has been the head coach of the New York Giants. His best season as a Giant was his first year under Pat Shurmur. So I think that has to be one of the biggest concerns for the Giants, finding somebody that's going to be able to develop their next franchise quarterback, whether it's Daniel Jones or whether it's somebody that they acquire in the future.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. That is the Giants getting a head start on what's coming next. Jumpstart your new year with Body Armor Light, the low-calorie sports drink, hydrating your active lifestyle. Shop now at retailers nationwide. Chris, looking out here, though, with the jobs we have open, this now brings it up to, I believe, 7 open jobs for head coaching in the NFL. seen a lot of people talking and ranking these. I ultimately look at the jobs available, Chris, and say I think the Denver Broncos would be the top job if I was a prospective candidate. All the talent we've seen built up outside of the quarterback position that you've got a chance to potentially fill in a meaningful way with some of the veterans out here this offseason. Where does the Giants job fit in the middle of all this here? Like, how appealing is this if you are a head coach or GM candidate looking in from the outside?
Well, Gojo, you are talking about a franchise that has had five consecutive double-digit loss seasons and seven of the last eight double-digit loss seasons. So I don't know that it's going to be that attractive of a job. And that's saying a lot, seeing as how the Giants have two top 10 picks in this upcoming draft. I think they pick fifth and seventh. So to say that it's not one of the more attractive jobs, knowing that you're going to be coming in with a general manager that's going to give you a lot of leash, a lot of rope when it comes to time to get this program back on solid footing. I think that just speaks to how sad a state of affairs it is with the Giants overall program. So I would probably rank it somewhere in the middle toward the bottom of the prospective jobs. I don't think it's quite as bad as where the Minnesota Vikings are at right now, but I don't think it's nearly as good as the Denver Broncos or the Las Vegas Raiders. It's somewhere in the middle of the vacancies, and maybe toward the back half, because you got to also consider, Mike, that you're going to be saddled with Daniel Jones as your quarterback, and you've got the fifth least amount of salary cap space of any team in the National Football League, the fifth least. So it doesn't seem like this is going to be a situation where you can turn over the roster very quickly. So a lot of the players that are on this team are probably going to be around next year, and you're going to have to try to find a way to make it work and make this team competitive.
And we've seen that's a difficult prospect, Chris, for a lot of organizations, because you look at two of the other jobs right now, one that just came open in the Miami Dolphins who let go of Brian Flores, and one that's probably going to be circled on all the hot seat lists as we look way too early at 2022's regular season, and Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers, the way that organization's trended. What do both of those organizations have in common? They understood what you just described, that part of this was going to take time. You saw longer deals signed by those coaches accounting for, hey, we know we might have to eat a year on the front end of this. And all it takes is one season like the Dolphins had last year, a new owner in David Tepper who all of a sudden gets hyper-aggressive when his quarterback gamble on Sam Darnold doesn't work, and now you just throw that out with yesterday's trash. So, Chris, you wonder if there's going to have to be some acknowledgement, and a Giants organization that has this difficult thing they're trying to balance where they understood timeline-wise getting rid of your GM, bringing in a new coach, you had to do this together, but they also don't want to be the organization that's constantly turning over if it doesn't go well. This may be the spot, Chris, where they can exercise some patience, because now you've reset this on the same timeline for GM and head coach based on the decision you made.
Yeah, you can take your time with it now, because nobody is expecting instant results in 2022. I think what most fans want to see is a competent product on the field. They don't want to see quarterback sneaks on third and nine from your own 5-yard line. They don't want to see your kickoff returner not fielding the ball and the ball settling on the 2-yard line and your team ends up getting safetied a couple of plays later. They don't want to see that nonsense. And they don't want to see the post-game press conferences that amount to a lot of excuses being made by the head coach and him talking about golf clubs not being in the front of lockers or guys not getting in fights on the sideline. They don't want to hear all about that. They want to see a team that's mentally and physically tough, a team that's going to be competitive more often than not. It's a sad state of affairs, Gojo, when you look at what the Philadelphia Eagles were able to accomplish. That was supposed to be a team that, from a program-building standpoint, was supposed to be behind the New York Giants in 2021. And yet they find themselves in the playoffs with a second-year quarterback that started all of 4 games as a rookie. Meanwhile, you're going into year 4 with Daniel Jones, a guy that was taken with a top 10 pick. That comparison and that juxtaposition is all you need to know in terms of the shortcomings that Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge both had in their tenures with the Giants.
Yep, I think comparison was the thief of joy all around the situation with Joe Judge. You mentioned the one right in their backyard in the division there, but you can look at first-year hand coach Dan Campbell, who got tangible results, fight that you saw from that team on a week-in, week-out basis that appeared bought into their coach's message. We saw what David Culley was able to do with a markedly worse roster down in the Houston Texans. putting together nearly the same record, identical with the Houston Texans, that we saw with a Giants team that had a lot more expected of it. And so when you looked around at all of that, and again, when that GM chip was the one that changed and Dave Gettleman was out there, it upgraded the timeline and made this, I think, impossible to avoid if you were going to try and get this franchise back on the right track. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. Joe Judge out. That team was in limbo. Coming up next, the Las Vegas Raiders, another team that finds themselves in a strange spot going forward, getting ready for a playoff push with an interim head coach whose future still does not appear clear. We will check in with the biggest Raiders fan in our lives next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We've been reacting to the news that Joe Judge has been fired by the New York Giants. They will not only be looking for a new head coach, but they're going to be looking for a new general manager. Now, we've got to bring in one of our resident Raiders fans, Gojo, because his team has a coach on interim status, but his team is in a very different position than the New York Giants because they find themselves playing on Super Wild Card Weekend. That being said, we're going to bring in Jason Fitz, host of the Spain and Fitz on ESPN Radio, which follows us. And Fitzy, I got to ask you, how does it feel knowing that your Raiders were able to make it into the playoffs and now looking forward to Wild Card Weekend kicking off on Saturday?
I'm stunned. I mean, honestly, like for all of the ups and downs of this season, for this team, for everything this team went through on and off the field and all the things that are bigger than football that happened throughout the course of the year, for this team to be in the playoffs, like if I went back in time in August and just wrote down the things that we knew would happen to this team now and said, hey, but by the way, they're still going to get to 10 wins and make the playoffs, this is stunning. And the one thing that I think is really interesting is this is now – three straight wins they get with their backs up against the wall. Four straight. I mean, to get the wins that they've gotten coming into this point, knowing that a single loss eliminates them, I'm stunned with how sort of this locker room has been able to galvanize together. This coaching staff has kept everybody together. There's a real togetherness, and it was a real statement for the Raiders to not get the tie and get the actual win.
How nervous were you for that, Jason, as someone who self-describes as incredibly risk-averse, is your way of putting it here, watching that final sequence? Were you begging for them to just kneel on it, avoid any catastrophe, and take the tie?
Yes, but that's because, like you said, I'm an idiot. But I do think this, though, Mike, like, at some point, Bisaccia knows what he's up against. And we all keep hearing the Harbaugh rumors. Everybody keeps talking about who the next coach of the Raiders could be. If you're Rich Bisaccia, you've waited your whole life to get the opportunity to lead a team. You have led a team through the weirdest possible situation. You've got them right there where there's an opportunity to make a statement to Mark Davis about who you are as a coach. You want to make a statement that you're going to go out there against a division rival in Vegas at home with this wild crowd. Those are the moments that you got to step up and say the motto is not just tie, baby. It's just win, baby. And that means something to Mark Davis. I think the pressure from outside the building of what we've seen towards this coaching staff plays into the subconscious portion of the game where you say, hey, this is our opportunity to win it. We're going to go win the damn thing. And that's exactly what he did.
So, Fitzy, looking forward to this upcoming weekend. I know your team played an overtime thriller on Sunday night. That was the last game of the NFL regular season. Now having to fly across the country on a short week, how are you feeling? How confident are you in this matchup against the Bengals?
Not confident at all, because I think the Bengals have a real shot at the Super Bowl. I'm such a fan. And so the funny thing is I was texting Orlovsky today because he sees this a lot differently than I do. And God knows he's much smarter than I am. But I look at this as a bad matchup. Now, the way the Raiders are built, for anyone that hasn't really watched a lot of Raiders this year, they're built to limit possessions. So the Raiders will give up big plays defensively, but they're going to try and make it difficult to get in the end zone. And they're built to only be aggressive when it's absolutely the right time offensively. They want to hold the clock for 8-9 minutes at a time. They want to limit how often anybody touches the ball. They want to keep the game close and trust that Derek Carr can win a close game. That's the methodology. It's not an accident. The hard part is that they're taking on an offense that does two things well. And that's been the Achilles heel, I think, defensively for the Raiders this year. They can take away the run or the pass, but can they take away both? And the answer to that so far has been No. So the fact that the Bengals run the ball so well and the fact that they have Ja'Marr Chase really means it's not a pick your poison. You can get beat both ways. And I'm not sure how the Raiders defense can respond to that. I think it's going to take 35 points to beat this Bengals team. And that's asking for a lot on a short week across country in 15 degrees.
Spain and Fitz co-host and lifelong diehard Raiders fan Jason Fitz with us. Jason, at the start of the 2022 regular season, is Rich Bisaccia the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders?
I don't think so. I want him to be the head coach. I think best case scenario for the Raiders organization, I think everybody in that building deserves an opportunity to run it back. The way that they have withstood everything here, we have no idea if Bisaccia is a great long-term head coach, but I do know this. The locker room responds to him. I do know this. Every player I've talked to loves the guy. I do know this. He's been able to bring everybody together. And that's got to mean something to the CEO portion of this entire process. So I think it takes the Raiders win in the playoffs for him to come back. But if he doesn't come back, then I hope that what the organization does is financially rewards him with a big raise, an increased title, and the opportunity to stick around on Harbaugh's staff. Like, I feel like if the Raiders are looking for a sexy seat filler, it's not Rich Bisaccia. But, man, if he hasn't nailed the job interview, then what is nailing the job interview?
Fitz, last one for me. Looking back at last night's college football playoff national championship game, are we witnessing a changing of the guard when it comes to SEC supremacy? Or was this just one of those pat on the back, good for Kirby Smart, but Alabama's going to run it back again next season?
No, it's definitely not that to me. And I'll go back to something Mike and I talked about on the pregame show. We talked about sort of the mindset, the here we go agains, and the yeah buts that Georgia, I think, as a program can have after years of falling short to Alabama. And to me, when you finally topple the giant, there's an extra confidence that comes with that. But the incredible part of last night's win is that I thought in the first quarter and a half of the game, Georgia did everything that you'd expect Georgia to do to lose the game. There were people standing around watching Stetson Bennett early on that are smart college football analysts saying the game's too big for him. And we watched the Georgia team settle down. And once they settled down and realized, hey, we can do this, like there's a level of belief that comes from dunking on the master that I think has to carry over for a Georgia team that recruits everybody as well as Alabama and is everybody's talented and has a talented coaching staff. I think this is the beginning of Georgia being able to play freely without having to worry about the perception of not being able to beat Alabama. Much different version of Georgia moving forward.
That's certainly what I said about the matchup with Alabama is the quicksand, if things don't go well early, can be deadly, and Georgia managed to keep calm and pull themselves out of that. Jason, you mentioned our pregame show last night. It was me, you, and Scooby Magueza on one set, and on the other set, Christine Williamson, Harry Douglas, and our friend Gary Streisky. Were you surprised at all that during that pregame show, they sent Quavo to their set and Kevin James to our set? Did that feel like they were kind of sending us a message there?
I think that was pretty on brand. I think they understood that Quavo would rather be taking selfies with Gary, and you and Kevin James really like we need to make this tag team happen. Like, I'm going to put it out into the ethos. Like, there are certain relationships that need to become real. Like, I believe that Mike Golick Jr. and Kevin James should be a tag team partner in some sort of a universe where there's a donut eating contest and you guys just get to call it. Like, there's got to be some symbiotic relationship that happens from this. I need the bestie thing to come out of it, you know, because then at least it was a win for all of us. Like, Quavo was never going to be your buddy, Mike, but Kevin James might be.
Listen, I saw Quavo dap up Stetson Bennett the fourth, so anything is possible. All things through Christ who strengthens me. But also, Kevin James, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are here, friend of the program now, would love to come to the premiere of the new movie where he plays Sean Payton. It's going to be a great time here. Lifelong King of Queens fan here. Ready to step into this lifelong partnership with Kevin James here. Going to be a great time when we manifest this. Fitzy, I hope you can manifest yourself a Raiders win this coming weekend. I know you'll be a giant stress ball all week, so thank you for coming here. We know you're probably sleep-deprived like I am. Rest up, and we'll have a good show tonight.
The professionalism is only going downhill from here today. I already told him I'm not coming into work on Saturday for digital, so there we go. Like, it's happening, Mike. Pray for me.
Oh, my God. We're going to cut Jason's mic off before he really gets himself in trouble. Go get ready. Spain and Fitz, 7 to 9 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Coming up next here, you're going to get what you've all been waiting for. It's Tuesday around here in Canty and Golic Jr. Chris gave you the top five. It's time to go dumpster diving with the bottom five. Next, after this word from Wendy's. Now, guys, every day is game day at Wendy's. The game? The game is choosing a better breakfast. And it's easy to win at Wendy's with heavy hitters on the roster, like the sausage, egg, and Swiss croissant and the bacon, egg, and Swiss croissant. So if you're looking to score the best breakfast in the game, it's got to be the Wendy's breakfast, the official breakfast of the NCAA. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Available at participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours only. Back with the bottom five next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter line at Mike Golic Jr. at Chris Canty 99. Gojo, we just had the breaking news. Joe Judge fired as the Giants head coach. They're going to be searching for a new head coach along with a new general manager. And Jordan Renan, we had him on the show earlier. He said that this is something that's going to move pretty quickly. So this is also a vacancy that we've got to keep an eye on, along with the six other ones around the National Football League. But it's Tuesday here on Canty and Golic Jr. And so that means we have to do top five. And I gave you that a little bit earlier in the show. But that also means that we do bottom five. And the honors goes to Mike Golic Jr. So Gojo, without further ado, let's get to the gutter.
Which teams were great?
Breaks a tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted! He couldn't hang on!
This is the NFL Top 5, Bottom 5.
All right, number 5. Let's start this off.
Number 5.
And I feel dirty saying this because obviously none of us got into sports to play ties. But that being said, I'm done playing sports. I'm just watching them. And so what do I want when I watch First Times and Oddities? And number 5 to me is the fact that despite the Raiders making their way into the playoffs after an inexplicably difficult season full of trials and tribulations, I'm disappointed we didn't get the tie. We were sitting there with the golden opportunity. So many people are going to point to Brandon Staley, the timeout, the decision to stop the clock there and give the Raiders time to think. Chris, I ultimately think that they were going to be going for the field goal regardless of that situation, no matter how much we deliberate that. But whatever came to that moment, I am bummed that we didn't get to see the tie that would send both of these teams into the postseason after one of the more epic games, the exact thing the NFL was looking for when they flexed this to primetime.
Yeah, here's the thing I didn't understand, Gojo. After the Raiders got the ball into plus territory, they weren't operating with a sense of urgency. It seems like they were content letting the clock tick down. They were taking their sweet time right up until Brandon Staley decided he wanted to call timeout. And the fact that Rich Bisaccia and Derek Carr were having the conversation about allowing the game to end in a tie, I mean, it's just one of those things. It's kind of like having the conversation about retiring from the National Football League. Once you start talking about it, it kind of settles in your mind. That's something that you're content on. I know we'll never know the answer to this hypothetical, but Brandon Staley should have just let sleeping dogs lie in that situation rather than calling a timeout. The fact that he did, I think, is what opened the door for it not being a tie. And here we are talking about the Raiders playing on Super Wild Card Weekend and the Chargers wearing that L for the rest of the offseason.
Number 4.
Speaking of wearing L's, now it won't start the offseason for this team, but Matthew Stafford walked into Week 18 with an opportunity to do something he had not done before, and a pair of interceptions, more turnovers again for the star quarterback, led to their loss to the 49ers, their division opponent on Week 18, that Chris now still leaves one of the more talented quarterbacks of our time without a division title to his name, now with the Los Angeles Rams.
Didn't the Rams backdoor their way into a division title?
Oh, they did? That's right.
Yeah, because the Arizona Cardinals lost to the Seattle Seahawks. So they did get the division title. But I'll say this, the turnovers concern me. And Darren Orlovsky cannot worry about it, but I'm worried about it. That's not a formula for success. And when you look at the juggernauts in the NFC, the one thing that all of those defenses have in common, they take the ball away at a high clip. So, got to be concerning for Sean McVay as they go into the playoffs.
Got to be concerning for me that this weekend clearly took enough a toll on me where I completely forgot about the back door that I mentioned watching this because it was very European soccer, but also our process that this was able to get through our rounds of production and everyone get here completely fine with letting me go ahead and do this to myself. I wear it. I own it. We move on. We try to be better next time. This is the gutter after all. Move on to number 3. Quick.
Number 3.
Scrub this from the podcast. I regret nothing. I didn't ask for any of this. I'm tired. Hour and a half of sleep. Number three, the Dolphins firing Brian Flores and somehow, Chris, inexplicably keeping Chris Greer their general manager here. When we look at the ills of the Dolphins and what's gone wrong this season, certainly Brian Flores has to wear some of the things that we have seen him do with the quarterback position going back to last year, managing things with Tua Tagovailoa, and some of the things that we've heard about his personality type here, being someone that's going to grind on people over time in that organization. But how Chris Greer, with his track record of drafting one at the quarterback, making the decision to take Tua over Justin Herbert, which to some extent many would have done in that spot, but two, to put together the offensive line around that has undermined that organization at every turn, I don't know how that's earned him the opportunity to continue to do this, but for the Miami Dolphins, this now puts them near the bottom of the open jobs that we've seen based on having to deal with a GM you can't trust.
Yeah, that's the problem that I have with the situation down in Miami. They've moved on from Brian Flores, and I get it. Maybe you can make the argument that you weren't satisfied with the job he was doing. But you can't then in turn keep Chris Greer as your general manager. I mean, between the two, clearly Brian Flores was better at his job than Greer's was at his. Presided over six drafts, 9 first-round draft picks, no Pro Bowls from those players that are currently with that team. So that's a problem, although we like some of the things that he's done recently in this last draft. Still, the track record, the history would suggest that your general manager was more the problem in the last 3 years than your head coach.
Ken Angola Jr. here with the bottom five from week 18 in the NFL. Let's keep it moving.
Number two,
which has now led directly to the change that we have seen atop the New York Giants. The 3rd-and-9 quarterback sneak, back-to-back QB sneaks, backed up in their own end of the field, Chris. We saw goal line personnel, multiple tight ends in the backfield as the Giants all but physically waved the white flag that now the organization has followed through on with their move today. Again, the breaking news of the day that Joe Judge, now no longer the Giants head coach. And Chris, I'd imagine the embarrassment of the last couple of weeks capped off by this in week 18 certainly went a long way in this.
How about the embarrassment over the course of the last couple of years, Gojo? I mean, listen, I know we're not supposed to celebrate somebody losing their job because of families that are involved in this whole thing, but I can't tell you who's happier today, Georgia Bulldog fans or New York Giants fans. I really can't. I think they're both right there.
The fact that it's even a discussion is simultaneously the saddest thing, but also it does make me hopeful because we have a lot of Giants fans around here on the show. We have a former Giants star in Chris Canty, and I want to see everybody happy. And for the first time, I have seen a weight lifted off the shoulders of the people around this show. Let's get to number one. Number five, the worst thing that we saw in the NFL weekend that was week 18, the final weekend of the regular season, has to go to a two-way tie between Carson Wentz, who went out this weekend, and courtesy of our friend Paul Hembakides, the Greek god of stats, managed to pull this off here. Hembo tweeted, a perfect QBR, measure of quarterback efficiency, is 100. An average QBR is 50. In a play-in game against the worst team in pro football, Carson Wentz posted a QBR of 4.4. I don't think that's good. Not to be outdone, though, Chris. Carson Wentz's 4.4 QBR in a game where he unfortunately had a very public pants pooping at a time where everyone was looking at him to lift up this organization that I once called one of the hottest in football is only matched by my inability to remember that Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams managed to backdoor their way into an NFC West championship heading into the postseason here based on the way this weekend's events transpired. I got to own that. Wentz got to own that. We'll see if either of us are here starting a quarterback come next season.
Yeah, Gojo, I think you're okay, though. What Carson Wentz did in Jacksonville is far worse than what you just did in your bottom five. Carson Wentz, they traded a first-round draft pick for you, and in a winning end game against a team that's going to have the number one overall pick, you ended up losing that game. And I told you, Gojo, if they lost that game, it wasn't going to be because of the defense. It wasn't going to be because of the running game. It was going to be because of Carson Wentz. And true to form in that third quarter, Carson Wentz came up small. You can go ahead and set your watch to it. When you got to depend on him in a big spot, he's not going to come through for you.
The Wentz wagon is always on time. That is the bottom five from the last week of the regular season in the NFL. Coming up next, we saw the vote of confidence go wrong for Joe Judge in a hurry in New York. Why one player may now be on vote of confidence watch after a recent statement. That's next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Or for those of you who are just big mad because we finally beat you, I have one thing to say to you. I don't care. You're losers, and you lost, and you're big fat losers, and I don't care about last year or the year before or any of your other 100 rings or championships. This championship, you didn't get.
Yes!
We handedly beat you with a walk-on with Stetson Bennett. Let's go. The greatest walk-on of all time. That's what we did. Troll Tide. Troll Tide. Let's go. See you in L.A. I don't care. In Indy, you lost. Troll Tide.
That is the voice of our very own Elle Duncan, Sports Center host, 6 p.m., and she had to come on and rep for her dogs on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty were presented by Progressive Insurance. Of course, all guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. So shout out to Elle for coming on the show. Also got to give a shout out to Spencer Hall, breaking things down, SEC network analyst and host of Thinking Out Loud. Jordan Cornette, who's the host of Game Day on ESPN Radio and Sports Nation. ESPN New York Giants beat reporter Jordan Renan giving us the updates, the latest on the Giants firing head coach Joe Judge. Dan Orlovsky and Jason Fitz, host of Spain and Fitz, which follows us on ESPN Radio. If you missed any of it, go to the Canty and Golic Jr. podcast, download, rate, and subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. But go, Joe, we have now reached the portion of our show where it's time for us to go three and out.
Sometimes it's the worst. Sometimes it's the best. Best. Either way, we'll get you straight with everything you need to know. This is Three and Out.
Shout out to our producer, Jerry the God, a.k.a. Rejoin Jesus on the heat with Elle Duncan. Oh, Matlack, was that you? My God! Let's go! I didn't mean to give that my bad, dude! Matlack out here working!
Got them skills, Mike. Come on now.
Can't give me credit.
Matlack, I am so deeply sorry. So I words can't even describe. As we begin three and out here on Canty and Golic Jr., I want to start this off with an apology to Ryan Matlack, gifted producer, orator, DJ, remixer.
Now, I just want to come out here and say being compared to Jerry the production god is the utmost compliment. That's a goal for all of us. Have a good three and out, guys.
Wow, that is a professional saving me again. Listen, I'm sputtering down the stretch here. I didn't remember the Rams won the NFC West. I can't give credit to the right people out here. Our pets' heads are falling off. And GM Andrew Berry, the Cleveland Browns, has given his quarterback, Baker Mayfield, the dreaded vote of confidence here. Chris, he came out Tuesday and said the Cleveland Browns, quote, fully expect Baker to be their starting quarterback in 2022 and bounce back after a struggling injury-plagued season. Do you believe him?
Yeah, they can fully expect that until he's not their starting quarterback going into 2022. But Andrew Berry, he's a smart guy. He knows he doesn't have to tip his hand and tell everybody, especially people in NFL circles, what his plans are regarding the quarterback position going into the offseason. So, yeah, I don't believe what he's saying. I think the reaction from the locker room after the OBJ incident speaks volumes about Baker Mayfield and what kind of leader he's going to be capable of being long-term with that team. So I don't trust it. Andrew Berry can say whatever he wants, but I don't believe that Baker Mayfield is going to be the starting quarterback next season.
I'm in the same boat. Too much smoke for this not to be a fire in Cleveland. But speaking of the smoke, you heard Elle Duncan, noted Georgia fan here at ESPN, wanted all the smoke, as did this man here. We can sit and talk about the Georgia Bulldogs that got it done in the national title stage, all the things that it did for this team, for Kirby Smart, for their legacy going forward, or we can play you this great cut of two Feinbaum callers going at it today when Paul cracked open the phone lines for the masses to go off.
Hey, Brad.
Anytime an Alabama fan calls in, if they start with a, well, if Jalen Williams wouldn't have, oof, you shut them off and start barking. If they say that.
Hey, by the way, Brad, is there anybody in particular you would like to call out here from the Bama Nation?
You dang right. Legend. I want to talk to Legend about him, that nonsense about kissing the ring and,
hey, Legend,
and all that.
Oh, shut the hell up. You won one championship. So you LSU, you beat us one out of eight. Friggin' congratulations.
Legend, this is what I want to say to you, man. Alabama is a great team.
What we are is the greatest friggin' college football program to ever step foot on a football field. That's
not,
what
not
we
today,
are.
Though, baby.
You
not today.
Won a national championship. Shut your mouth. I'm talking. Have a conversation or shut
not,
your damn
today,
mouth.
You ain't. Not today, you ain't.
If you thought Georgia and Bama were great rivals on the field, I bring you Legend versus Brad on Feinbaum. Now and forever, amen, Chris.
That is radio gold right there. Shout out to Paul Feinbaum for setting that up, man. That was amazing.
Bama ain't played nobody, Paul. One of the greatest days in sports. Georgia fans, enjoy it. Soak it up. Spain and Fitz going to have
Troll
you covered
tide.
Next.
Troll Tide! Troll Tide!
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.